You may be seated. So any of the children want to go up to the children's worship, you're welcome to leave now. I'm going to do a little teaching before I do the preaching. Okay? By the way, worship team, thank you for sharing. That was awesome. Sometimes sorrow comes upon you because the Lord wants you to pray for someone. Okay? That's kind of like the Spirit in you grieving over somebody else. And so when you feel the grief of the Holy Spirit upon you, then, and somebody's name comes to mind and you're sorrowing over that, you can do one of two things. You can let that sorrow take you to depths of depression and despair, or you can bring that individual up before the Lord and go to Him with your request concerning that individual. And when you do that, the Lord will then be able to lift that sorrow from you. But He does not want you to walk in sorrow. Okay, that's not His plan for you. I don't know if I'll get to my message or not, but here's the... We have, and I'll share this again. So on the 31st, we're going to have a victory celebration here at this church. Okay? And we're going to be celebrating people who've been healed physically, been healed emotionally, been healed from addictions, those kind of things. And you're just going to stand up and you're going to share what God has done for you. Okay? And a lot of people will say, well, Pastor Brad did this for me and Pastor Brad did this for me. But I want you to know something. This is a unique congregation in that God has given this congregation, many in this church have what I call a gift of empathy. I don't know what else to call it. But they can actually feel your pain. They can feel what you're going through, and because of that, they're able to lift you up and be specific about the request that's on your heart, and you haven't even told them anything. That's kind of weird, isn't it? But because one of the reasons that you are experiencing healing is because of the prayers of the people here in this congregation for you. I can't take all the credit. Nor do I take all the blame. So, with that being said, then we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12. I've been preparing. I thought I was going to preach this message 3 weeks ago, and I kept having to change. And by this time, I've got 4 messages on this passage of Scripture. And the one I thought I was going to preach on this passage of Scripture, God gave me a different one this morning. Okay? So, we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 12 and beginning at verses 18 through 24. I just want to kind of give you a heads up about this passage of Scripture, because as we begin in verse 18, if you're not real familiar with Scripture, you're going to say, man, what is this all about? And what this passage of Scripture, 18 through 21, is talking about how God gave the Old Testament covenant to the children of Israel. Okay? Now, so God wanted to make a covenant with His people Israel. And so He came to a place called Mount Sinai. And God said, I've got these commandments that I'm giving to you, and I want you to obey them. Now, isn't it remarkable that the eternal God, the Creator God, wants to make a covenant with man? That is crazy. There's some of you, and I won't call your names, but I probably wouldn't want to make a covenant with you. Okay? Yeah, all looking at me. I haven't. Have you ever, has anybody ever made a promise with you and said, man, I'll do this if you'll give me X amount of dollars? And you want to say, and you say, you do it, and I'll give you the money. But there's a lot of people who want the money before they do it. And then they don't do it. But you know, they just make that promise to you. They're good at conning people. And I can pick them up pretty quick. Then they get mad at me because I don't trust them. I don't know you. Therefore, I can't trust you. Once I know you, I can know whether or not I can trust you. God was willing to make a covenant with a people he didn't know he could trust. Isn't that crazy? That's just crazy. And so what happened was when he made this covenant, and we're going to read about it, there was fire, there was whirlwind, there was darkness, there was gloom, there was fear and trembling, and if I'd have been one of those Israelites, I would have too. The scripture says that even Moses was trembling with fear. God said, I don't want you to approach this mountain. If an animal approaches this mountain, you're going to stone it to death. And if it had been me, I'd have been at the back of the pack. The back of the pack. So, and now we're going to be comparing. So what he's doing in Hebrews chapter 12, he's comparing the Old Testament covenant with the New Testament covenant. Okay? So let's read it in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. It says, you have not come to a physical mountain, to a place of flaming fire, darkness, gloom, a whirlwind, as the Israelites did in Moses at Mount Sinai. For they heard an awesome trumpet blast and a voice so terrible that they begged God to stop speaking. They staggered back under God's command. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. And Moses himself was so frightened at the sight that he said, I am terrified and trembling. But no, you have come to Mount Zion, which is a spiritual mountain. It's not you are going to come, you have come. To Mount Zion, you have come to the city of the living God, you have come to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to countless thousands of angels in joyful gathering. You have come to the assembly of God's firstborn children, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God Himself, who is the judge over all things. You have come to the spirits of the righteous ones in heaven, who have now been made perfect. You have come to Jesus, the one who mediates the new covenant between God and people, and the sprinkled blood which speaks of forgiveness instead of crying out for vengeance like the blood of Abel. So here's, it's hard for us in our pea brains to even visualize what he's talking about here. He didn't say, you're going to come to the New Jerusalem. He said, you're already there. If you are a child of God, you are already there. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21. I didn't have them put up on the overhead because I didn't know I was going to preach it this morning. Revelation chapter 21. And I'm going to begin with verse 2 and go to 5, and then we'll... I have scriptures from 10 to 27. I don't know if I'll read it all. But you need to understand what this New Jerusalem looks like. You need to understand what this New Jerusalem has. If you're a part of that... So, according to this passage of scripture, are you going to be a part of New Jerusalem, or are you already a part of New Jerusalem? We are already, if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are already a part of New Jerusalem. Already there. I wish I could see it. John, the Revelator, saw it. And so he tells us in his book what it's like. I'm interested in finding out what he saw. He says, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. Adorned. Beautiful. Bigger and better than any princess who married one of them princes. Prince Diana, or Princess Diana. Bigger and beautiful than any of that. It goes on to say, and I heard a shout from the throne saying, look, God is in God's home, is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things are gone forever. Hallelujah! We're already there. We may not be experiencing it, but we're already there. He goes on to say, and the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down, for I want to tell you what's trustworthy and true. Verse 10, so he took me in the Spirit to this new Jerusalem, to a high mountain. He showed me this holy city, descending out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God and sparkled like precious stone, like jasper, as clear as crystal. The city wall was broad and high with 12 gates. These gates were guarded by angels. The names of the 12 tribes of Israel were written on across the gates. There were 3 gates on each side, east, north, south, and west, and the wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. And these foundation stones, every one of them, had the name of an apostle stone. And each one of these 12 stones also had a precious stone inserted in one of these foundation stones. Verse 21, and the 12 gates were made of pearl. One pearl. 12 gates, each one made of one pearl. I looked online to find out what's the largest pearl ever found. £75. That's a large pearl. £75. That's a big oyster. What do you think of that oyster, Todd? You don't want it that big. You wouldn't eat it. No. It was found in a giant clam. And a Filipino fisherman had found it and kept it at his house kind of for 10 years. Just kind of kept it there, never did let anybody know. 75 pounds. That thing was a monster. But can you imagine what it would be to have a gate built out of a pearl? 12 gates. That's some giant clams or giant oysters. Huge things. Okay? God created that. So when you go into the city, you're going to go through one of these 12 gates. And you're going to be going through. A pearl. The main street, in verse 21, was pure gold as clear as glass. He said, I saw no temple in the city. He'd been looking for a temple. He was expecting a temple. I saw no temple in the city, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is the light. The nations will walk in its light, and the kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. Its gates will never be closed at the end of the day because there is no night there. And all the nations will bring their glory and honor into the city. But verse 27 says, nothing evil will be allowed to enter, nor anyone who practices shameful idolatry and dishonesty, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not going to be political here, but if you ain't a citizen, you can't get in. Right? That's what he said. If you're not a citizen, you cannot get in. That's what he says. If you are a child of God, did you know that you have dual citizenship? You're a citizen here on this earth in the U.S. of A. And we have a wonderful place. I've been to other countries. We've got it pretty doggone good. We've got it really, really, really good. If you don't like it here, go to Haiti. You've been to other countries, haven't you, Alan? You have. If you don't like it here, go somewhere else. Oh, buddy, isn't that the truth? But see, not only do you have a citizenship in the United States, you also have a citizenship of heaven, in heaven, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I don't know how all this works. In the end times, Scripture says that the angel is going to come and mark us as one of God's children. I kind of think we're already marked. We just can't see it. Possibly the mark is the Holy Spirit within us. But here's the deal. If you don't have that badge or mark or that little card that says, I am a citizen of heaven, you're not going to get in. I don't know about you, but that sounds like a pretty good place to be to me. That sounds like a pretty good place to live. You could go on it and read that it is 1,400 miles wide. That's from here to Denver, Colorado. It's 14 miles long, 1,400 miles long, and it's 1,400 miles high. John saw all that. He's describing it to us, and it's like, man, I want to go there. Guess what? We're already there. We're already there. I wish I could see it. I wish I could. It is a reality. It is a reality that you are already there, although we can't see it. Doesn't it make you want to kind of homesick? Talk to you not only about the city, but let's talk a little bit about the occupants in the city. He says, you have come, not you are coming, but you have come to countless thousands of angels in joyful gathering. The Greeks had no bigger number than 1,000. Okay, that's why when you read in Scripture, nothing is over 1,000 because they have nothing, no word for that. So in order to describe it, they say thousands upon thousands or countless thousands. So we're talking about probably millions and millions and millions of angels who are gathered together in joyful celebration. When we come together with our 60 or 70, we're singing together, there's some joyful celebration, and it's beautiful to my ears, but can you imagine being in the presence of millions of angels who can sing on tune. Hallelujah! Who can keep the beat. You know, I'll share this with you. I've kind of always wanted to be a pastor of a black church. Because they just get into it. They know, they usually can keep rhythm, and they can usually sing, and whether they can or not, they're making a noise. And it's a joyful noise. Have you ever been to a black church? Isn't that amazing? Man, they're just dancing and shaking and proclaiming Christ, and it's like, man, I want to join that church. The energy, yeah. Imagine millions of angels with that kind of energy. Come on. Yeah. Woo! Can you imagine? Man, that in itself is like, how much greater can it get? But then he talks about not only angels being there. Now, listen. The Old Covenant, we don't read anything about angels. Probably they're the one who's blowing the trumpet. There's a large trumpet blast, scared the people. Probably they're the ones blowing the trumpet. But when we come to the Old Covenant, all we find is God and the children of Israel. They're the participants. But in this New Covenant, we're finding out that it's not just God, but there are angels, and there are other saints as well. You have come to God's firstborn children. Did you know that you have family here at Life Change? You have family here. And sometimes they will give gifts. Sometimes they will give guidance. Sometimes they'll be praying for you. Sometimes they will be embracing you. Sometimes they will be encouraging you. You have family here at Life Change. Some of you don't have family anywhere else. Some of you, this is the only family you have. Scripture says, not only do you have family here at Life Change, you've got family at the Nazarene Church. You've got family at the First Christian Church. You've got family at the Assembly of God Church. You've got family all over Tillamook. And I know a lot of those family members. And they're just as precious as you are. Just as precious as you are. But did you know, not only did you have family in Tillamook, but you have some family in Bangladesh, Shanghai, Lima, Peru, Saipan, Guatemala, Haiti, all over the world, Africa, Morocco, all over the world. You have family there. You have come, if you've received Christ as your Savior, you have come to become a part of that family. But not only that, Scripture teaches us in this passage of Scripture that there is an extended family beyond here on this earth. Scripture says that you have come to the spirits of the righteous already in heaven. You have come to the spirits of the righteous who are already in heaven. You're a part of that family. Those who've gone, did you know that you were a part of Peter's family? And you're a part of Paul's family, not Paul Massa. Well, you are a part of his family too. You're a part of the family that's already gone before you, who's already in heaven, and that Scripture says it has already been perfected. Isn't that going to be a wonderful day when we get there and are become perfected? Whoo! Wouldn't that be an awesome day? Man, I'm waiting for that. I haven't got there yet. But I'm waiting for that. When we get to heaven, God's going to perfect us. When we get to that new Jerusalem, we're going to be changed in that we're not going to have to carry the bondage that we're in now. We're not going to have to fight those mind battles. We're not going to have to fight the enemy in the way that we do now. We may have to still, I don't know what that looks like. We may still have to fight him, but it's going to be in a different way. But you've come to the spirits of the righteous in heaven already made holy. We read about the angels. We read about these people who've gone before. We read about our family that's here. And you remember, if you remember in Roma, in Hebrews chapter 12 and 1 and 2, it says these witnesses were cheering us onward. They're cheering us onward. They're encouraging us in the race. They're telling us, don't stop. Don't stop. Have you ever thought about stopping in your Christian race? Probably all of us have. One time or another. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is it worth it? You need to know this. If you don't know this, you need to know it. You need to write it down. The rewards are always greater than the sacrifice. The rewards are always greater than the sacrifice. Let me ask you, are there sacrifices in the Christian walk? You better believe it. Particularly if you take on the mantle of becoming a disciple of Christ and trying to follow him and do what he asks you to do, that walk in obedience to him. If you make up your mind to do that, there's going to be some sacrifices that you're going to have to make. And the wonderful thing is, I believe that God brings you may be a young, newborn babe in Christ, but somewhere along the line, God brings you to a place where you're willing to become a disciple of Christ and say, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Here's a wonderful truth. Not only have you come to holy angels, not only do you have a company of angels, not only did you come to the holy Jerusalem, the holy city, Mount Zion, not only did you come to these angels who are celebrating over you, and not only have you come to saints in this world and the next, but Scripture says that you have come to God Himself. See, in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, God could not be approached. The children of Israel could not approach God at Mount Sinai. Because the Old Covenant did not make provision for that. It was impossible for them to approach God because the sin that they carried had not been removed. Did you know that the Old Covenant could not remove sin? Couldn't remove it. Well, I want my sin removed, so I'm going to offer 15 goats today. That didn't do it. So tomorrow I'm going to offer 20 sheep. That didn't do it. So the next day, I'm going to offer 50 bulls. That didn't do it. There's no amount of sacrifices you can make to have that sin removed from you. God could not be approached by the old covenant. It was impossibility because we have sin. They had sin in their life. But once the new covenant came and Jesus sacrificed himself to remove the sins of the world, to remove your sins, when you received the sacrifice of Jesus Christ as your own, when you do that, you can now approach God. We have an approachable God whenever we take on the mantle of Jesus Christ, take His sacrifice upon ourselves. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I am so grateful I'm living in this day and not that day. We have a lot to be thankful for. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We can approach right now. You could go to the Lord in prayer. He said, I'm listening. I'm listening. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. All of the benefits that I just shared with you, plus more. Like I said, I've got about 4 messages on this. Plus more is all because of the new covenant. It's all because of Jesus' sacrifice for you. There was the old covenant where there was sacrifices of goats and bulls and animals and those kind of things to kind of help us meet God's standard for the moment. But then there was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, which takes away the old covenant and gives us communion with the Father. This morning, we're going to participate in what we call the Lord's Supper. And Jesus instituted this as a picture of the new covenant that He's going to make with His children. And He's going to make with those who come to receive Him as their personal Lord and Savior. While He was meeting with the disciples on the night before His crucifixion, He takes the bread and He breaks it. And He said, guys, listen, this is my body, which is broken for you. They did not understand that, I don't think, that evening. They could not picture Jesus being led into the quarters where He will be beaten, 40 lashes, by a cat of 9 tails. They could not picture that. They thought things would continue to go on as before and things would get better. But they could not picture. He said, this is my body which is broken for you. We find in other scriptures, it says that by His stripes we are healed. Okay? And so He was saying, listen, my body's going to be broken. And this brokenness that I'm going to receive, it's for your healing. It's for your benefit. And so He gave it to the disciples. They ate it. Then He takes the cup. And He says, regarding the cup, this is my blood. This is the blood of the new covenant. This is the blood of the new covenant. I'm making a new covenant with you. The old covenant no longer exists. From this day forth, there's a new covenant. And this is the covenant that I'm making with you. I'm going to shed my blood. And my blood takes away the sins of the world. Isn't that a marvelous thing? That's the new covenant. And when we receive Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we get all of the benefits. We're already in heaven. We have a new family. And we have an approachable God. That is amazing to me. Amazing to me. This morning, you may be here without Christ. And you may say, man, I want to get in on that. I want to become a citizen of heaven. The way you do that is by asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Because we've all sinned. Ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and invite Him to come into your life, to lead you, to guide you, to direct you. And according to His Word, He will do it just like He said. This signifies the blood of the New Testament, the blood of the New Covenant. Jesus said, as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, remember me, because I'm going to come again. And I want you to be ready when He comes. Father, I come before you today. I thank you for the cup, the blood that you shed to remove my sins as far as the east is from the west. Lord, I thank you that I can approach you now because of this new covenant. Lord, I thank you for the bread. I thank you for your body that was broken for me. Lord, your body didn't have to be broken to take away my sins. But it did have to be broken to take away my sicknesses. So, Lord, we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. Thank you for all that you accomplish, for your sacrifice. Bless this bread. Bless this cup for healing, for restoration, for right relationship with you. We ask in Jesus' name. This morning may be that you don't really understand what it means to become a Christian. I barely gave you just a little seed.